And hello there, and welcome to Collision Cast, the official podcast of Fender Bender, helping collision repair shop owners and operators make money, save money, and work smarter. I'm Associate Editor Abdullah Ghaffar Khalifa. I'm joined today with Kevin Fitzpatrick, the Opus IVS Vice President of North America Operations, to talk about the cost of EV repairs, with hopes to learn about why it's more expensive than their ICE counterparts, and whether it's even worth getting certified, especially if you're not even seeing them in your area. We hope you enjoy.
Basically, at Opus, we provide equipment for both mechanical and the collision industries. Our main business is vehicle scanning. So we work heavily in the collision industry. We provide our devices to MSOs and collision shops, and we do scanning to make sure that all the vehicles that are returned to vehicle owners are in proper working condition and in a condition that they were in pre-collision. So that's pre and post scanning, OE scans. We're able to do remote calibrations as well, module programming. So we provide all of these services to collision shops around the U.S. and Canada.
Okay, so you definitely have quite the insight on the topic that I have here, which is regarding the cost of repair for EVs, and I appreciate you providing that background. Could you explain to me sort of how we kind of gotten to the point that led to that CarScoops report from last year?
In terms of the cost of EV repair?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's really three main factors right now. I mean, number one, it's the number of facilities that are repairing EVs. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest factors. The second piece is the number of recycled parts that are available to repair these vehicles and aftermarket parts. So those are the three main factors that are going into the cost of repairing an EV. You know, unlike an ICE vehicle, internal combustion vehicle, there's a ton of manufacturers of the parts. So, I mean, there's a lot more parts to repair the vehicles, a lot more options for the repair shops. Unlike like a Tesla, Tesla is mainly the manufacturer for most of the parts, which leads to longer cycle times in most cases. And if anytime a battery is involved, the car is going to be an instant total.
So yeah, you kind of hinted at could possibly bring those prices down for both collision centers that focus on EVs as well as drivers of EVs. But just for a more broad answer, could you tell us since last year what has been done across the market to lower the cost of collision repair for EVs?
Really, it's mainly training, getting more technicians trained. More people able to fix the vehicle. So, and again, anytime the consumer has more options, there's more shops able to fix a Tesla. Rivian has widened their service centers, you know, Ford, GM. So there's more technicians trained in the repair of the vehicles. So I think that's probably the biggest factor, at this point in terms of the lower cost of repair.
Now, I actually get off an interview recently with Chris Chan, who runs a few Fix Auto locations in the Modesto area in California. And he told me that it's actually not as difficult as how some might see it as to get qualified. And I'm just speaking on Tesla certification, simply because there's less components to a Tesla. Is there any truth to that?
It's true, yeah. But it's like, again, it's the main issues are the safety training. The technicians need to take time out of the shop in order to get certified on the repair of these vehicles. Oftentimes, technicians they'll sublet the actual make ready of the car where somebody is brought in and made the car safe to repair. I mean, if it's body panels that need to be replaced or repaired. Somebody's actually brought in and the car is made safe for repair. In other words, fuses are actually pulled and the car is brought to a condition where other technicians can actually put their hands on the vehicle. If the proper safety training doesn't exist in that shop. But that's absolutely correct. I mean, but what you need to do is a shop needs to make, is needs to take the time to get their technicians trained. It's not a tremendous amount of time. You know, most of the training takes between 30 and 40 hours.
Now, is that the general case for all EV brands, or is that specifically for?
It is.
All of them. Okay.
Yeah, the safety training usually covers most of the EVs. Yes.
Now, what? You know, when I look outside my window or I drive, I do certainly see a lot more EVs today than I did last year and the year before that, and so on. But so far, all we have is mostly overwhelmingly ICE vehicles or internal combustion engine vehicles. So, is it really still a large, can you justify the demand to get, certified on EVs, even though most cars still aren't EVs on the street?
I think so. I mean, it's a growing vehicle population. I think in any state, I mean, honestly, you can look at, you know, there's certain states in the Midwest, obviously, you're not going to see these things for a long period of time. So I think you have to look at the car park for your particular business. You know, obviously, if you're in a metropolitan area, this is something you need to address. Obviously, you should have addressed it already. You know, if you're somewhere, you know, in the, you know, somewhere in the Midwest and you're in a more rural area, you probably have a little bit, more time. But, you know, it's definitely something we're seeing the car park replaced more and more. I think, you know, total last year, I think they made up about 11% of the total sales. But so, I mean, it's growing. It's something every business owner is going to need to consider it very soon.
I'm glad you kind of got to sort of the percentages of things. What would you say, because we're talking about, you know, lowering the costs, and that correlates to the number of available collision centers out there. How much have those grown since last year?
Just a few percentage points. I mean, obviously there was a greater expectation for sales than there actually was. I mean, we saw a considerable price drop in terms of EV pricing. A lot of Ford, GM. These guys had lots and lots of these cars. Unfortunately, the reality is in the States that the infrastructure needed for these vehicles didn't grow as expected. You know, so the populace really hasn't adopted them the way the government has wanted them to. I mean, that's the reality. You know, younger drivers are certainly adopting them at a much higher rate than traditional folks, older people like myself are in reality. But, you know, again, they're up, I think 3 or 4% over last year. And that's, again, I think that's reasonable growth. All things considered. Obviously there's a group of people who would like to see the growth exponential over what we're actually seeing. But, you know, I mean, again, all things considered, especially infrastructure in these metropolitan areas, I think that's reasonable. You know, if you consider what we just kind of went through, in the Midwest, you know, in the Chicago and in the Michigan area with that deep freeze that we had, all the issues that a lot of people had with the way EVs react within that kind of temperature, there are still some considerations that had to be had within the U.S. with adopting an EV as your main mode of transportation.
So yeah, of course, you know, if you're living up here in the north, like I am in Minnesota, you know, you will certainly think twice about adopting an EV. Just more broadly, what other things are keeping people from driving EVs?
I think it's mainly, you know, again, there's a lot of literature right now. I think the expectation was they're a lot less expensive to drive than they really are. You know, the cost of ownership is certainly not zero as a lot of people expected. You know, the cost to charge is reasonably high. You know, it's not free. They go through more tires. There are maintenance on these vehicles, and when they break, they are slightly more expensive to repair. The other issue that I think a lot of people have to take into consideration, and there are various there are there are contrasting thoughts on this, is the resale value of an EV. You know what I mean? Some people say, well, then, you know, no problem. You can drive it like a nice vehicle, trade it, and get your money out of it. It's kind of not the case. I mean, they kind of have a shelf life, unfortunately, where you know what I mean? If you the trade-in value of a Tesla, unfortunately, is not there. So there are a lot of considerations that people are kind of looking at before they're jumping into their first EV.
Now, is there a projected growth percentage of how many more collision centers are going to be up and running to serve EV customers in the near future?
That's a tough call. And I think, you know what I mean? I think considering the state of the U.S. right now, I mean, I think the, all of the manufacturers in the U.S. have kind of throttled back on their build, projections and everything else. And I would expect a lot of our larger MSOs to kind of follow suit. You know what I mean? On what their projections were in terms of, you know what I mean? How they're planning their repair programs. You know, so I think both of those things will probably grow together.
Now, I'm sure this answer for the question I have will vary from owner to owner. But is there a average growth in customers or a financial growth of sorts when it comes to getting an EV certification for collision repair, as it is, of course, growing in popularity?
It's tough to say. I mean, there's a lot of shops that, you know what I mean, have gone out and gotten the Tesla certification. I think that's probably the biggest one at this point. You know, obviously Rivian and some of the other EV companies are operating their own service centers at this point.
All right. I do appreciate you taking the time to talk with me about this particular topic here, and I was glad I got your notes on this. So for anyone who's listening or considering getting an EV certification or just doing more to serve EV customers, what would you want to say to them? I'll leave the floor to you on this.
I think the time is probably now. Honestly, you know, before your customers adopt these things, you know, if your customers are like our customers, you know, there's a constantly changing car park, right? So, you know what I mean? Before your existing customers are all driving EVs, the time to get your technicians trained, especially across the training and everything else on the safety portion of these things is now. You know what I mean? The certification, OE certification, of course, is something all of these shops need to be considering, especially with Tesla and some of the more these brands. I think we're also going to see a lot of these smaller like Canoo and these other Chinese EVs. I think we're going to find those things making their way into the U.S. market sooner than later. So I think there are a number of considerations that are going to be driving the process in a number of these collision centers very soon.
All right. Well, thank you again, and hopefully I'll get the chance to speak with you again.
Thanks very much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
Well, that was all the time we had today with Mr. Fitzpatrick. I just want to take this time to thank him and thank you all for listening. Now, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn, and I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day.